Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Yod Zayin, the 17th Perek. This is a continuation of Iyov's speech to Eliphaz, and it is quite a depressing piece to read, piece of literature to read, and we must remind ourselves, especially that we're learning this right now in the month of Av, that the Sefer Iyov is one of the prescribed Sfarim which you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, even though Talmud Torah is actually not permitted on a mourning day, or an Avel who's in Avelos is also not permitted to learn Torah. They are permitted to learn Sefer Iyov. And maybe this is why. It's not just the introduction to the Sefer where the horrible things happen to him, but actually his response to the horrible things, where we see how miserable and depressed he is, that maybe is why it is mutar to learn the Sefer in such a sad time. Iyov continues to explain to the friends that he is A, undeserving of the suffering, and B, their message of do teshuvah, and you can repent, and you can get tzchar, whether it's in Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba, is totally irrelevant, not just to him, but to people in general. As he says in Pasuk Dalet, he says, ki libam tzafanta misachel. Hashem, you have not allowed human beings to comprehend God. You have, not God, but also neshamas. You have not given human beings the mental capacity to understand what it means that our neshamas live on in a world to come. We can't get our heads around such a concept. Al-Kain, therefore, lo teromem. They don't feel uplifted by the idea that don't worry, you're suffering in this world because your neshama will have an aliyah in the future worlds. That's not something they relate to. That's not something that helps them feel uplifted. So don't make that argument for me. And not only is it not good for me, but it's also not good for everyone else who's watching me go through this suffering. If you look at Pasuk Vav, he continues and he says, V'hitzi gani limshol amim. I have been presented as a mashal for all the other people. I am a mashal. I'm an example of humanity, and it's not a good example because they're looking at me and they're seeing me as like the quintessential sufferer. Which we know, Chazal tell us there is an opinion that Iyov lo haya velo nihiya, he never existed, ela mashal haya. Rather, he is a mashal. And therefore, when Iyov says, why have I been set up like this in order to be kind of like the model of who a sufferer is, we kind of like nod along and say, yes, that's actually what you are. And we talk about the suffering of Job and the suffering of Iyov and Yesure Iyov as a model of something. And he continues in that pasuk and he says, V'tofet lefanim eheyeh, and I've become a tofet. Now the question is, what exactly is a tofet? And there's different opinions. The one Rashi says is a drum, and like the word tof, and he says, meaning people are like ridiculing me. They're making like jives and tunes to mock me. Alternatively, the way that others explain it, like the Malbim, is tofet is another word for Gehinnom. And he's saying, V'tofet lefanim eheyeh, and I'm living Gehinnom on earth. You keep telling me that there's going to be a future world in which things get better. It doesn't help. I can't relate to that. Right now, all I know is that I am living hell on earth. And this is terrible. And this is awful. And it's not just awful to me. Pasuk Ches, he says, Yashomu Yisharim Alzos. People who are righteous are horrified by this. They look at my suffering. They're not inspired. They're not connecting to God. They're turning around and they're saying, which kind of God is so ruthless and can do such a thing? My suffering is not a good mashal because nobody's learning from this to do anything. All they're doing is they're absolutely horrified. And there are those who, V'naki al-chanef yit'orer, the Malbim explains, there are those who see it as a way to continue to do their flattery to God. In other words, they see me suffering and they think, well, it must be because I sinned, like you, Eliphaz. And therefore, they continue to work on their actions and be very good and do lots of good things just because they're terrified that they too will suffer like me. And this is an uncomfortable thing to think about, but it is something that people do. We see suffering and we think, well, I better do teshuvah and work harder because I don't want to be punished. He says, is that a good tactic? The fear tactic that God's using here in order to get people to be more righteous? That's not exactly a good way to go. As he says in Pasuk Tes, V'yachez tzadik darko, when they see me suffering, they grab hold of doing the righteous ways. V'tahari adayim yosif ometz, and they keep putting an extra effort in being in being more and more righteous and more careful with their actions so that they don't get punished like me. V'ulam, however, pasuk yud, kulam tashuvu uba'una. Let's circle back to this whole issue, says Eov. Come back to this. Let me ask you something. V'lo emtza bachem chacham, because I'm not finding anyone who's getting wiser. All you're doing is you're superficially responding to your fear by trying to be more good. But you're not actually getting smarter. You're not actually getting to know people. So my suffering is not forming a good mashal for anybody. And we can take a step back and we can ask ourselves, when we see people going through yesurim and going through suffering, does that build emuna? And the truth is, watching someone suffer does not build emuna. Watching someone suffer is terrifying, it's heartbreaking, it's painful, and it's difficult. What builds emuna is watching someone who is omed benisayon, who overcomes, or not necessarily overcomes, but remains faithful, remains committed, remains inspiring despite their suffering. Well, that's something that's incredibly uplifting and incredibly inspirational. And here maybe is where Eov is failing. Eov is turning around and saying, well, I'm suffering and that's not inspiring. And we almost want to say to Eov, of course it isn't. But what's most uninspiring about your suffering is how you're responding to it. And you are not really doing something that's uplifting or that's making people feel like you are a role model to them. Suffering is not what we're role modeling. It's response to suffering that we're looking for role models. And he goes on in Pasuk Yud Beis, and he says, and here really, from here on out, the rest of the perek, he really sinks into the depth of his misery and depression. And I'm going to read the psukim, and then I'd like to circle back and try revisit the reason why we're learning these psukim. Because you come out of this and you just feel sad. And you don't want everyone to put down the recording for the day and just feel a sense of despondence, which is really what Eov is feeling. So we'll ask ourselves, why did Chazal want to put this into Tanakh? Why did the writer of the Sefer, through Ruach HaKodesh, feel like it's important for us to learn these words? Let's learn them and then we'll ask the question. He says, Laila leyom yasimu, or karov bipnei choshech. He says that you're trying to switch night and day for me. And the way the Malbim explains this is actually what he's saying is, you keep telling me that it's fine that I'm suffering here because when I'm dead, I'll experience goodness. But when I'm dead, that's nighttime. And all you're trying to argue is that my nighttime, aka my death, is going to be really light. It's going to be good. And this, my lifetime, meaning the light, which I'm experiencing darkness, is really okay because this life is not actually a lifetime of light. The future time is a light of life, is a time of light. And I don't really buy that. I don't buy into that. I don't connect to that. I don't really care for that. In fact, Pasuk Yud Gimel, im akavesha ol beiti, what I'm really hoping for, if I were to hope for anything, is death. That is my home. B'choshech ridafti yetzu'ai, in darkness, meaning in death, and I am adamant that death is darkness. It's not light like you guys think it is. In darkness, that's where I'm going to put my bed. That's where I'm going to be. That's where I'm headed for. And it gets darker as he says, l'shachas karati avi. I turn to destruction and I say, you are my father. You are my destiny. Aviata, imi va'achoti lerima. I turn to the maggots that eat up bodies under the ground. I say, you are my mother. You are my sister. That's familiarity. That's home. That's what I want. Pasuk tes vav, va'aye efo tikvati. Where on earth is hope? What do you mean hope? What is hope? V'tikvati miyashirenu. No one can see my hope. This is all just darkness and depths of destruction. That's all I have to look forward to. Pasuk tes zayin, badesha ol tardena. People are going to go down into the depths of the grave. Im yachad al afar nachat. Do we lie together upon the dust? We're going to just be alone and dead and buried. And Rav Schwab asks, so what's the point of all this depression? This is Torah. This is Tanakh. And we could say, well, you know, it's important to have depressing things too. You need something to read on Tisha B'Av. Or we can say something else, which is that what we're understanding as we're reading these thoughts is this is Torah, which means when we have these thoughts, when we find ourselves looking at tragedy and feeling absolutely consumed and overwhelmed by despondence, sadness, and tragedy, that's okay. These thoughts don't need to be repressed or pushed away, or pushed aside. They're not usur. They're not terrible. They're part of the process of mourning, of healing. Someone with Ruach HaKodesh, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, wrote this down for us and wants us to understand that these thoughts are real. And maybe we read Iyov on Tisha B'Av and read sad things like Eicha on Tisha B'Av, not just because it's good to be depressed on a sad day, but also because what the Torah wants us to do is express sadness at the proper time, in the proper way. And that's not just depressing, that's actually uplifting. That's hopeful. The only way to move to a place of hope is to dig deep and allow ourselves to feel and to cry and to sit on the floor and say, Eicha, how could this be? And when we allow ourselves to feel that darkness and see it written or in Tanakh and see it written on the pages of Iyov and written on the pages of Eicha and see these pieces of these texts and say, ah, I felt that sometimes. In fact, maybe I'm sitting on Tisha B'Av and feeling that today. And as we feel that, we allow ourselves to say, this is ironically the way that we can work through our darkness in order to bring it to light. And once again, I want to revisit those words where Iyov turns to his friends and he says, Laila le'yom yasimu. You guys are trying to switch around my night and day. And yes, like the Malbim, this may be talking about Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. But maybe also what it's saying is, if I process my sadness right, if I process my Laila correctly, then I will come out to Yom at the end of the day. When I work through my darkness, that's when I can get light. Yov can't see this right now, but maybe it's not his friends who are providing him the ability to come out today, but it's himself. And it's his dark, dark thoughts, which are not just terrible and kfira and falsehood, but they're healthy and they're important and they're part of a process of healing which will allow him independently, without the help of any of his friends, to find that moment where he can achieve daytime. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nach Yomi Chavruta, in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Verachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the source of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.